Well, nice to have you back. We're talking to Daryl Smit in France. He touched a bit on, Daryl, you touched on Mohamed Atta and a bit. I want to know if you could explain how the passports of Mohamed Atta and Satam Al Sugum, I think, both on Flight 11, survived the inferno to be found on the street near the World Trade Center. Do we know, do journalists know, investigators know, who found the passports and what time were they found?
No, they don't know who found them, but we know they were found in a pristine condition quite conveniently after these blasts. You will remember that at 7-7 in London, all of the identification of the so-called Muslim terrorists in the London bombing, which was another fabrication by the same group, were mysteriously piled up on the chair beside where the bomb went off. Now, that's absolute foolishness to believe that. And if the mainstream public cannot pull itself out of the fog that it's in long enough to see that this is lies, we are all in very big trouble. We need the public to understand that they're being lied to on every turn. There is virtually nothing our governments tell us that are valid, almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sad to say I include the government you're actually living in right now.
Well, we know about that, and we're learning every day much more, Daryl. I also refer to a Washington Post article dated 23rd September 2001, Daryl, and
yeah.
They ask, why weren't the flight schools shut down or the terrorists deported if the FBI knew terrorists were using flight schools for years, as reported?
Well, see, that was part of their story. They needed to show that these young Muslims were in America trying to learn how to fly planes. And it was part of the story. And there were good FBI agents who were not part of the criminal element who did bring it to the attention of their superiors, and their superiors said, don't pay any attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
There was one specific incident up in Wisconsin, I believe. It's Wisconsin or Michigan. I'll have to check my facts, but I think it's Wisconsin, where one of the FBI agents, Carol Raleigh, her name was Agent Raleigh, actually said, look, we've got clear evidence that something is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was happening was they were setting up the lie. They were putting into motion all of the elements that later would become the official story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you take a look and dissect that official story, you will find out that behind the scenes, it is it's elements within the government and Israeli Mossad and the MI6 of Britain that are actually involved in putting this lie together.
Mm-hmm. We talk of NORAD. Were they aware of the four hijacked planes veering off course even before being reported by the FAA? If not, maybe please could you tell us why NORAD, which monitors 7,000 flights a day, was unable to track the four aberrant flights?
Well, just a few weeks in advance of 9/11, an executive order came out of the White House giving the vice president the authority to have NORAD stand down. It was an order never before rendered by the executive branch of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
It was an order that the military had never received in the 40 years of NORAD's history. And what happened was they turned over the control of NORAD to Dick Cheney.
Yes.
Now, Dick Cheney was actually working within a command center, and he told the people at NORAD to ignore the hijacked vehicles, that in fact it was all part of some large exercise that was going on that day. And if you take a look at the idea of this exercise theory, you'll notice that they did the exact same thing in London. These people actually do not get very complex with their lies, and they use them over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost identical to what they did in London.
Yeah. Did U.S. Stratcom at any time track the four hijacked planes, Daryl?
Well, yes, they did, and the FAA was tracking them. And one of the bizarre anomalies that did take place, and this is where our newest research brings us, is that two of the planes crossed right over a military Air Force base that had recently been sold to Israeli interests, a military base called Stewart Air Force Base, and it is just north of New York City. And two of the hijacked planes from Logan actually passed over top of this airport. It is believed that that's where the original passenger planes were brought in and other planes were taken off. Now, why would that be the case? Because the people who orchestrated the sale of the World Trade Center, a man named Frank Lowy, in concert with Larry Silverstein, and a man named Ronald Lauder from the Cosmetic Fortune, all of Zionist Israelis, took over the World Trade Center, but they also bought Stewart Air Force Base, the only private Air Force, the only private airport in the United States, the only one.
Yes.
And it was sold to them by George Pataki. And Pataki, his wife, gets a salary from Ronald Lauder in the amount of $250,000 a year for doing absolutely nothing. In other words, we have hunted down the connections to these people, and in fact, there is more to come on those investigations. But what I'd like you, your listeners to know is we already have enough to prove that they did this. There is absolutely no question, if you look at the evidence and look at the facts, where the crime leads to. It leads to the United States government, the Israelis, and MI6 of Britain. Mm-hmm. And you will notice that these people right now are panicking to cover it up.
General, what connections did the United States government have with the so-called terrorists prior to 9/11?
Well, they were being handled by the Mossad, in fact. You'll notice that especially Atta and some others, they had apartments down in Florida. The rented apartments on both sides of Atta's were rented out to Israeli art students.
Israeli
they
art
called
students?
Them Israeli art students. After they were detained in the United States after the attack, it came out that they were actually Mossad operatives, and they admitted that to some FBI agents. Instead of holding them as material witnesses to the attack, Ashcroft had them removed from the United States and sent back to Israel. And what we found in the vans of these Israelis was bomb residue.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, thermite bomb residue was present in the vans that these young Israeli art students, or so-called art students, were driving, had actual bomb residue in the vehicles. In other words, weeks before this happened, they were deeply involved in planting the ordnance and explosives within the World Trade Center.
What do we know about a pipeline through Afghanistan, the interaction with the Taliban or bin Laden?
Well, we know that Mr. Karzai was at the time during the negotiations for the pipeline was an actual executive for what's the name of it? It's a California company.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the pipeline was supposed to come from across Afghanistan into Pakistan and then out into the Indian Ocean. That pipeline is an important link for that region. And in fact, right now, all attempts to install that pipeline have been thwarted by the Taliban. But early on, the Taliban was in league with the American government. Even though on television they were saying all these terrible things about each other, the Taliban was actually negotiating with America to actually do this without a fight.
Yeah.
When they kept raising the stakes, actually, the Taliban did, and finally the Americans chose an attack as opposed to negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when, after they defeated that group of people, they installed Ahmed Karzai. He is a puppet of the American government and the oil barons.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, Daryl, I just recall on September the 9th, 2001, George Bush had a war plan on his desk to go into Afghanistan. Have you got any news on that? Can you tell us more on that?
Well, you know, these plans were actually formulated even years in advance. I mean, they knew all about what they were going to do, and there's no surprises here. What the surprise is for me, Saeed, is that it's taken the world's public so long to understand what had happened to them. Because people don't want to face what they need to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what we need to do next is hold our governments responsible for not taking a stand against this. Now, here's the interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even countries like France, who had no part in the attack, they are complicit in some ways of not reporting what they knew.
Mm-hmm.
They did not say to the world, we know the Americans were involved in this, we know the Israelis were involved in this. We know the MI6 was involved in this. So in some ways, they're complicit in the cover-up, and so are governments around the world. And so what we've had here is all the governments of the world lie to its public. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how long it's going to be before we all demand the facts to come out in all of these cases.
Absolutely. Daryl, do we know the journalist who's been writing a piece in France that's reported in Republican L'Est about the death of Osama bin Laden? Anything else coming through from that story?
Well, we do know that we do have some very strong evidence that Osama bin Laden died in early 2001. I mean, late 2001, early 2002.
Mm-hmm.
He was very sick, you know. He was undergoing kidney dialysis, and in fact, he just in advance of 2001's attack, he was actually visited by a CIA operative in Dubai at a hospital undergoing treatment for his kidney ailment. The simple fact of the matter is all videos that have been produced since 2001 are rehashes of old videos or faked ones.
Yeah.
You'll always notice that they're very grainy, very hard to see,
mm-hmm.
and they've used three that we know of fake bin Ladens in these videos. He is no longer with us and has not been for at least 4 or 5 years.
Do we know where he's buried?
No, we don't, no. And, you know, what they would love more than anything else is young Muslim youth to idolize this man. I urge everyone listening who is of the Muslim faith in Islam to take a relook at this. This man is an operative and was an operative for the U.S. government, and if you are revering him, you are actually helping the criminals.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Daryl Bradford Smith, always straight and to the point. Daryl, nice talking to you. We'll chat again to you sometime.
Thank you, Saeed.
Bye-bye.